is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet...
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die. All right, so please help me welcome the great Mike Brooks.
And so do you believe in scripting?
You know what? Here's the deal, Jeffrey. And this is the truth, all right?
No, come on.
Come on.
Why do us tell us
come
we're pretty?
On.
Come on.
Here's the...
Tell
here's
me I'm pretty, please.
Here's the deal. Guess what? Everybody uses a script. If you don't believe me, record your sales team, transcribe what they're saying, hand it back to them. What are you going to hand back to them?
A script.
Now, here's the truth. The problem with that is that most sales rep scripts suck. That's the truth. They suck. I mean, I listen to recordings every single day for all of my clients. I've been listening to recordings for 30 years. A new client calls me and says, hey, I need help. I say, send me your recordings. As soon as I hear the recordings, I know exactly what the problem is. Their sales reps suck. They don't know how to make a connection. They're talking over people. They can't listen to save their lives. They don't know what the definition of a qualified lead is. Why? Because they're using their old script that they made up. It's called ad-libbing. Sucks.
Yeah. So everybody's on a different script.
Yeah, then that's the problem. You know, what I like to do is come in and get everybody on a similar best practice approach. Hey, let's script out what is going to be your best practice. Let's get everybody to learn it and internalize it so they don't sound like robots. And then let's get them delivering that best practice approach. So when somebody says, hey, I'm not interested, you say, hey, no problem at all. I'm not calling to sell you anything today. Hey, how's that for an idea? I mean, let's get everybody delivering a best practice approach. If you do that, you're going to be more successful.
I will tell you, my insult to salespeople is when the customer says they're not interested, that means you are not interesting.
So a lot of people try to sound like they're not robots, but when they're reading something, they struggle.
You can kind of tell.
And companies I've called recently, sometimes in the middle of the conversation, they'll have to read some disclaimer and it's obviously scripted. And they'll actually apologize like, okay, sorry, I have to go through this word for word right now, blah, blah, blah. But when someone doesn't have to go through it word for word and it needs to sound like they're actually being conversational, what do you recommend to that salesperson?
Yeah, it's very simple. Have you ever heard of the song Stairway to Heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a lady who's sure all the glitters is gold, right? I know the inflection. I know every word of that song. Why? Because I've heard it 100 times. So what do I tell salespeople? Take the script home. record it into your cell phone, listen to it 30 times so that, guess what? You'll memorize it, you'll internalize it, and now you deliver it in a free-flowing, easy way. So somebody says, hey, I need to talk to my manager after my presentation. I get to the end. Hopefully you've already qualified that there's another decision maker during the qualification stage, but let's say you still get the stall. Hey, I'm going to need to talk to my manager. So what do you say? You say, hey, no problem at all. I understand that. We talked about that earlier. Let me just ask you, just out of curiosity, based on what we've gone through, you know, what you understand so far, if the manager said, Jeffrey, you do what you think is best, you know, based on what you know, what would you tend to do? Now, that's a script. Did it sound scripted? No, because I've memorized it. And that's what you need to do.
Cool.
There's a place for scripting. I'm in favor of scripting, especially to get a person familiar with the product or the process. But oftentimes, people will invent a tangent to the script that's a little bit better. They tweak it just a little bit more. Are you in favor of somebody modifying that script once they're in control of it or memorize it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, you know what? The script is a template. It's a best practice approach. I want you to put your personality on it. Jennifer, I want to make it so that it sounds like you. I want you to embrace it, but I don't want you to miss out on that best practice technique. And the problem is most people are never given those techniques to start with. So they start out by just ad-libbing. They start out by reacting. I was at the AAISP Leadership Summit last week in Chicago, and we won a couple of awards. I'll just give myself a plug there. We won the 2018 Service Provider of the Year Award for Sales Script Development.
Way to go.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you, Jeffrey, and thanks, Jennifer. And the reason I tell you that is because what's important is you take that message, you take the best practice approach, you turn it into your own, and then when you deliver it, it doesn't sound like you're ad-libbing. It sounds like it's you, but again, you're at least delivering and saying the right things. Most people never do that. They start by, again, just ad-libbing, and then you've got a room of 20 people making it up on their own. But here's what I learned at the AAISP. They said, hey, with the new generation of people out there, folks who have grown up on their cell phones, people who are used to just texting, and we're asking them to do something they've never done before, which is make a telephone call. They don't use these as phones. So guess what? Now, so it's very difficult to say, all right, hey, Gary, great. Welcome to the company. Now we want you to get on the phone and make 50 dials a day. 50 what? Dials a day. What's that? It's a phone call. What's that? So we're asking these people to do something they've never done, which is make a call. So we better give them some tools. We better give them some scripts that they can turn into themselves.
Stacy Brown Randall.
Welcome to Sell or Die.
All right, so step one is knowing who our referral sources are. So if you've been in business 2 years, 10 years, 15 years, you have a list of clients. You should figure out how they came to know you.
Or friends. It doesn't necessarily have to be a client. It's a relationship that you have with someone that you value and who values you back.
Yes, exactly. But I would say the way to figure out who those people are is typically look at your client list and figure out which of those clients came through a referral.
Okay.
And then what's the name of that referral source? So like if you were a client and I was like, oh, you came through Steve, right? It's Steve's actually the name I want, not yours.
Right.
I mean, that's great.
Right. So you're making a very specific list of the people who have made referrals for you.
Yes. Easiest way for me to do that, if I haven't captured it, is to start with my clients. Now we're missing, right? We're going to miss out on some referral sources if we don't go back to our list of prospects who never became clients. But sometimes it's just too much homework for one person.
Yeah, that can be a lot.
Because it already sounded like work to me.
I know, right? You just got exhausted just thinking about it.
Long memory lane.
Yeah, so we at least start from clients because they're easier to be able to tell, okay, who are the people who referred them? So we go through our list of clients. We pull out the ones that were referred to us, and we get the referral source name. That list becomes gold. And the argument I always make is that's the most important list in your business. I personally believe it's more important than your clients. Not that your clients aren't important, but those people are the people who believe enough in you to drop business in your lap. So you're not networking and cold calling and cold emailing and traveling around to every conference and, you know, sponsoring every trade show out there. So I love clients. I love all of mine, but I love my referral sources more.
I gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
Because they make business easier.
So I have this list. Now what?
Perfect. The second step is most people will look at it and be like, oh, yeah, yeah, got it. Move on. Can we get to the good stuff? Because I call step three the meat and potatoes and step four the secret sauce that makes the meat and potatoes taste good. But so everybody wants to skip step two, but it's really critical. It is simple. It's you have to have a process that you follow every time you receive a referral. And I just mean it's a thank you process,
mm-hmm.
but it has to be followed immediately.
Okay.
Right? It's simple as writing a thank you note, mm-hmm. right? But you have to have a process where you thank right away for the referral received. And the fundamental piece behind that is why do you think you deserve more if you can't thank for mm-hmm. the one I just gave you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, I mean, my mother would probably say that's just good manners.
Right.
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 But it's actually just good business. Like,
right.
Because most people don't
well,
receive.
It's both.
It is. It's both.
So but, let's call it a standard response process.
Would you template it?
So you can, but you can't be right. So some people, if the goal of my program is to not just get you more referrals from lots more people, it's to get you more referrals from the people who are already referring you, mm-hmm. which means you probably need to mix up what you're saying. But
uh-huh.
there are a few, because if I'm going to write the same thank you card in a month,
right.
three times for
right.
your three referrals,
right.
I don't need to say.
It seems pretty disingenuous.
And again, right. thanks, or number two.
Right. right. So I always tell folks, like, just break up what you're going to say. And
yeah.
you know, in my program, I give that language because people are like, what do I say? And I'm like, here is the script, and here's
cool.
like five variations
Very
of it,
cool.
right? But at the end of the day, what we're after is for you to thank them, you to plant a referral seed, and then you to make sure you're still ending with a give. So it's thank you for, you know, thinking of me to refer me so-and-so. And when I use the name, I've planted a seed. Because I may not remember I referred you, but I definitely remember that I referred you Jeffrey.
Mm.
Right? It's the connection of what I did helps remind me. Kind of just a little seed that gets planted in our subconscious that's kind of like, oh, yeah, that's what I did. Right? And then you end with a give, which is let me know how I can help you or how can I make this year great for you or something to that effect of is there a way that I can, you know, do something for you? The truth is you're writing it on this little 5x7 card. You don't have a ton of room. But you do need to make sure that you're thanking, you're planting the seed by using the
a
name.
A card meaning not an email?
No emails.
Oh.
No. And this is
handwritten.
Well, here's the question.
All right, go ahead.
People are going to be offended that they haven't received an email thank you right away.
Okay, so you can do that, but it does not substitute for you then taking
handwritten
time to
letter
write a handwritten
to follow.
Card.
I love it.
So yes. Handwritten letter to
okay.
follow.
Oh, yes. So here's the thing. Remember, if a personal connection happens to make it a referral, I'm getting an email with both people on the email, the person sending it and the person that's my new prospect. I'm immediately hitting reply all, thanking the person who referred, and then moving into
cool.
like, hey, let's
okay,
set up
cool.
time to meet. And then I'm writing a thank you card.
I gotcha.
Yeah, you got to do all the pieces.
Okay,
but you
cool.
can't, but most people aren't, they don't think like that. They
no.
think the email's good enough.
Right.
Or the text is good enough.
Our guest today is Ryan Bramlett.
We had Pipeline Movement, $0 to $24 million in 16 months.
That is correct, yes.
So talk to us about that.
Yeah, what
how,
the hell
how
is that
did you
about?
Do that?
Like, dude, if somebody
well,
said
you, know,
you went, wait a minute, if somebody said that you went from $0 to $2 million in 24 months, that would be a big deal, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you know, you got to throw an asterisk by it because there's damn sure some fluff in those numbers. And we know that. We're not ignorant to that. But in our firm, we've attempted a few different times in the past to implement a sales pipeline within the organization, and it really has fizzled out every single time. And so we took a look at it and we said, look, we are a sales company. We have to have a pipeline. It's ridiculous that we don't. So we need to get this done. It's non-optional, but how are we going to do it? How are we going to do it differently? And I would tell you there was four or five handful of things that we did that at this point are working, and it's not rocket science. A lot of it is just persistence. But, you know, first of all, we started with the communication and then ultimately the over-communication of why we actually need a pipeline. Producers don't want to hear that we're doing a pipeline because that it delivers results. We know that it does. And that's certainly one of the reasons. It drives some accountability, but we're not looking to micromanage. You know, one of the things that we communicated was to the producers, like it's not about just the producers. It's about the organization as a whole. And what I mean by that is being able to forecast where it is that we're going in an accurate way helps us really identify the types of resources that we can make investments to help them sell in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us make proactive investments and additional support from a staffing perspective. We need to know where you're going to make those decisions proactively. And I think that that resonated with a good majority of our producers that, you know, these numbers are not just about holding me accountable. But then beyond that, you know, we're leading by example with our regional sales directors. I have four regional sales directors that work underneath me. And what we're doing there is the accountability starts at that level. And we quantify what that accountability is. And so our goal was to make sure that we had at least three times revenue in our pipeline compared to our annual revenue. That was the minimum number. And the accountability is at a regional level saying, look, I don't care what the producer's number, I don't care what their pipeline says. I care what our regional and our all up pipeline says. And so the accountability and the quantification is at the leadership level. But then to continue to lead by example, we have within our sales directors, our own respective pipeline. And what we're doing is we're out identifying large prospects ourselves with the intent of creating a new business opportunity, then identifying the best producer team that gives us the highest chance of winning, and then bringing that opportunity to the producer so they can see that we're doing the exact same thing that we're asking them to do, and we're rewarding them with some opportunities there.
This has been a Seller Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to gittimerlearningacademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher. And come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.